Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Good evening, DC. Hello, it's Ben Standick here. I am with you on Overtime on 106.7 The Fan until 10 o'clock tonight. Metal Chris is running the show. Glad to be here with everybody. It is it's funny. A week ago, I was here over on the other station. We had Super Bowl talk. We had Anthony Davis getting traded to the Wizards. It's a little more low key tonight, but we still have plenty to get into, and I'm excited to do that with you guys. For as many of you, I assume, know, or some of you know, hopefully some of you know, I cover the Commanders for my Substack, Last Man Standing. We're going to talk a bunch about the Commanders tonight. Some thoughts about what the coordinators and Dan Quinn had to say this week. Free agency is sort of the next big thing on the transaction menu. We're going to look at sort of the Commanders free agents, and go through some of the guys I think need to stay, maybe stay, and you could probably move on from. And I have watched almost none of the Olympics, but Metal Chris has, so we're going to get an update from him as to what the heck has been happening. And obviously there's some interesting stuff going on today. It's on the TV here in the studio. It's on there. So we got a lot to get to here on this Friday evening. Hope everybody is doing well. I can't say it's warming up, but at least it doesn't feel like it's Antarctica out there. That is a massive win. I don't know how you guys have been the last 2 or 3 weeks. Absolutely miserable. I've barely left the house. I had to start taking like vitamin D just to make sure I was getting that needed boost, because I wasn't getting any sunlight. But at least it doesn't feel like I'm going to freeze over here walking outside, like from the car to the studio here. That's a great thing. What a miserable few days. I haven't looked at the weather. I have no idea. Maybe we're getting a foot of snow tomorrow. I have no idea. Don't go with that. I'm not a weather guy. I'm not Doug Cameron. But thank God. That's the thing about the Winter Olympics. It's just like,
it's supposed to be warm this weekend, just so you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, we're finally going to get some real melt going. I think it's like in the 50s the next day or two. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. I got to be honest with you. So the snow was like 2 weeks ago at this point, right? So when it started to snow that first day, I went out there early. I shoveled most of the light stuff. Then I went back inside, and then as the heavy rain came down, or the
turned free, to ice is slip, what it was,
right? Yeah. Basically ice, right? I didn't go back out for that. I don't know. Who knows what I was doing? Was I sleeping? Was I watching TV? Lazy? Who can say? By the time I did go back out, it was like ice, and I just made a decision, a business decision, to only do so much. I just let my car sit there for like a week, until one day I was actually on with JP and B Mitch. And JP, knowing me, asked me if my car was out, and I was honest and said no. So the next day I felt bad, and I got my car out, but I still have plenty of like snow and ice around my car. I'm not the only one in my parking lot of my townhouse development that still has snow around their space. It's kind of embarrassing. So I'm really hoping we get over 50 here to, melt this stuff out. I just couldn't deal with it. Sue me.
Yeah, so we have a garage that opens up on an alley, and the city doesn't plow the alleys. Mm-hmm. So, like, I can plow, or I can shovel outside of my garage, but it's, 15 houses to the corner, or 'cause these row houses, it's like, I can't, So my car was pretty locked for a while there. So I was just hoofing it to the metro for a good while. But
well, I mean, the good thing is I didn't have to go anywhere. And I did have to go on Tuesday. I had to go out to Ashburn. My car was out by then, well before then, just to be clear. But I did have to go out to Ashburn on Tuesday. It was the first time I actually had to, like, go somewhere. Yes, I went to the store. But, like, I didn't have to, like, get anywhere. I did go to the movies once, and I had a took an Uber to the movie, and my buddy drove me back. So that there was that. All right, nobody wants to hear about my driving and snow adventures. We do, as I said, you know, there's the Olympics are on tonight, and I do want to discuss a little bit about the Wizards later. And I should line up who the guests are tonight, because we've got a good panel here coming up later at 7:30. My guy Mark Zuckerman, who of course covers the Nats for his brand new Substack page, Nats Journal, is going to join me. Mark is crushing it on Substack. We're both over there. I'm excited for him, and we're gonna, you know, spring training has gotten going, so I'll speak with him about what's been happening early days down there and get a forecast of what he sees as some of the bigger storylines for the Nats during spring training. 8:15. You know, this time of year, now that the Super Bowl is over, is when people, I think, start getting into basketball if they haven't already been already, whether that's NBA or college. Nobody can talk about those things from a local perspective better than my guy, Jimmy Patsos, who talks Wizards on Monumental. And of course, Jimmy was an assistant coach for Gary Williams on that Maryland title team and head coach at Loyola in Siena. Buckle up for Jimmy. He is a wild ride, but we're going to catch up with him on what's been going on in the NBA and with the Wizards, I should say, and college basketball. And then at 9:00, David Harrison, who's also out there in Ashburn, often with me, talking about the Commanders. He works on Locked On Wizards. Why do I keep saying the Wizards? Oh, my God, Wizards, I'm right. Locked On Commanders. And WUSA, I used to actually host Locked On Wizards 100 years ago. So that's probably where my brain went there. He'll join me in the 9:00 hour to talk about, again, the Commanders and what these coordinators and Dan Quinn had to say, along with looking ahead to this transactional off season. You know, I feel compelled to talk about the Commanders a lot since it is the team that I cover. I don't always know if Friday night, the late show, does everybody really want to hear the Commanders, right? People that want to hear about the Commanders, Chris. So here's what we're going to say. Question of the night. I'll give you two. You can call in at 800-636-1067. First question. The Commanders have roughly like 30 free agents, and you can debate whether the totality is very interesting or not, but they do have some players that, of course, played a key role on this team or could going forward. If you can only keep one guy of their free agents, factoring in the money, you can't just say Deebo Samuel because he's the best player. You also have to deal with the salary. And on the other hand, guys like Jeremy McNichols or Andrew Wiley might be a little bit cheaper, but that's less impact. Who's the one Commanders free agent you have to bring back? And then the second question is the Olympics. What tell me your favorite thing you've seen so far, or have you seen none of it at all? And if you haven't, then what are you doing with your life if you're not watching it? I'm basically binge watching a lot of shows and catching up on work. That's what I've been doing. The Winter Olympics just don't always move the needle for me. I hope Odyssey is not running Olympics coverage, because then that would be bad if I'm saying this. But I want to know what you think, because some of it's pretty compelling. Don't get me wrong. The skiing, the downhill skiing was very interesting. I saw for like a minute, but I have not been watching. I don't know. Am I missing out? I feel like I'm missing out. On the other hand, I'm not losing a lot of sleep over it, so maybe I'm not.
I mean, I just love the Olympics in general.
I love the summer.
I like them both. It just kind of, I don't know. I just love the idea of, I think they're run kind of not well, but I think it's just awesome seeing people from every country come and play and compete. I don't know. Oh, man, a lot of sports you don't usually get to watch. And it's like, you know, you ignore them for most of 4 years. And then for 2 weeks, you get to pretend you're an expert all of a sudden at skeleton. Or whatever, you know, whatever they're doing that just looks nuts. So
yeah, I mean, as a growing up, you know, especially like in the height of the Cold War era and some of the, like, you know, the Olympics, you know, I mean, obviously the 80 Olympic hockey team is the ultimate sports story we've had in this country, probably. But, you know, there were some other ones over the years, figure skating and speed skating. in particular, some skiers here and there, and of course now the professionals playing hockey. I'm not dismissing it, but I was, for me, it was when I was a younger man, I cared about it more. But I could be wrong. I'm happy on this case. Often if you tell me I'm wrong, I'll probably tell you, you know, stop sniffing glue. But in this case, I'm happy to listen to, for you to tell me I should be watching the Olympics and what in particular. So 800-636-1067, who's the one free agent the Commanders have to bring back, and what am I missing here in the Olympics we need to know about? We're going to talk about that. We'll talk more. We're here again till 10 o'clock here on 106.7 The Fan.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Welcome back to Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. Ben Standing here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. You guys are going to be a big help in helping myself and Metal Chris get through these next three-plus hours. 800-636-1067. Two questions I'm throwing out there. One question, we've already got a call on here. The Commanders have roughly 30 free agents. If you have to only keep one, or you can only keep one, who's the one that you must keep? And remember, this isn't just who's the best player. This is factoring in the salary, the role, the team needs, all that stuff. And then secondly, the Olympics are on my TV here. I have barely been watching. What am I missing? Or am I being smart by focusing on other aspects of life, like, you know, Netflix or a mock draft that I'm writing or whatever it might be. Well, Metal Chris is going to tell me later what I've been missing because he's been watching it. But I see we do have, because somebody is listening to me, Tyler from Winchester is on the line to talk about the Commanders free agents. This is what I like, Tyler. I need this kind of participation all night. Thank you for calling in. Who you got here? What Commanders free agent is top of mind for you?
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I think probably Laremy Tunsil is the one guy that I would say you got to bring back.
So let me just stop here, Tyler. He's technically not a free agent. He's got 1 year to go. They needed to go renegotiate his deal. But he's here under contract. So unless that thing just completely blows up, he's on the team no matter what. The wonder is just, will they extend him? But obviously, he's the number one priority, I would say, in terms of, like, signing somebody. So you're on the right path, but just technically not a free agent. Does anybody else kind of jump out for you?
I would say I'd like to see Noah Brown back next year. I'd like to see them revamp the receiver core, but I think it would be good to bring him back. He's a solid, can be a solid number two if he's healthy.
So that's interesting. There's a lot, again, there's roughly 30 names. And, you know, if we're just talking like a vet minimum type contract, or maybe that's a little too light because he has been productive. but a lighter contract, and they have some other pieces that could be interesting. But I was not expecting a Noah Brown comment. 2024 looked good. Last year was just rough, though. So last year did not scare you off.
No, I don't think so. I mean, last year was just a rough situation anyway for any of the receivers. I mean, with Jaden Daniels out, missing so much time, it would be hard for anybody to be really successful. I mean, Terry had a down year anyway, too, and he missed time. But, no, it doesn't scare me. I think that he's a solid guy. And even just to keep him for the fact of the beautiful Hail Mary catch that he had, I think there's some team legacy there, too. But I like him. He's a big receiver. I like him.
Look, I'm with you on the big receiver part. Like, even if he's not back, that needs to be replaced. I think one of the big mistakes they made last year was it's not that they let Deami Brown leave or didn't match the contract he got with Jacksonville, 1 year, $10 million. It's that they didn't replace the speed element that he provided on the outside. And to that degree, like I said, if they bring Noah Brown back and it's truly a backup role, we can have that discussion. If they don't bring him back, they need some size, so they can't just say, like, well, we brought in these other receivers. You do need to get somebody with some good size, especially because we don't know right now what the tight end room looks like, you know, without if Zach Ertz, you know, what's going to happen there. So they'll need some size in the red zone, so I think that's a reasonable way to go. All right, Noah Brown is on the board.
Yeah, and then speed, I'd love Rashid Shaheed to come to Washington. I think that would be a great fit.
Tyler, that's a great thought there on Shaheed. I really appreciate the call. Thanks for leading us off here. Shaheed would be interesting. Like, that's exactly the type of player they need. My wonder, though, is he's not like a classic receiver. I mean, he's an interesting deep threat. Don't get me wrong. They already have Jalen Lane, who did not show much, as we know, last year as a receiver. We saw the speed in his return game. And if Deebo Samuel's gone, maybe Lane can go and play on the inside, which is where Deebo Samuel was. But I think that Jalen Lane could benefit more from there. So maybe he's a speed guy. But Shaheed would be fascinating. If they just want a pure burner, no doubt that would be a great one. Tyler, I really appreciate the call. Thank you so much for that. All right, we've got, like I said, this was a quick segment here. We have got 3+ hours to go, though, still. So we've got plenty of time to talk. 7:30, Mark Zuckerman. Coming up, though, we want to talk a little bit more here about the Commanders, their own free agents. I'll give you my thought as the one guy that I think they need to come back, and we'll see if Metal Chris wants to talk to me into the Washington Olympics. We'll do all that next here on 106.7 The Fan.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the Ultra Comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to score 5-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
All right, Ben Standing back with you here. I cover the Commanders, my day job for my site, lastmanstanding.substack.com. But I'm talking whatever we got to discuss here till 10 o'clock on overtime. The Olympics are on. They're currently showing the part of the Olympics that I really have liked. And that is, have you seen, Chris, when they have like the drone coming behind the skiers? So it gives you that, like that player, like when you're playing a video game perspective.
Yeah, it's distracting sometimes because you can hear the drones a lot. Like, we don't have the audio on here, but you can hear them a lot when they're showing people do skiing or like the luges.
So it's distracting for who, the viewer or the skier? The viewer,
yeah, because you hear this like buzzing. Like the first time I heard it, I was like, there's something wrong with my refrigerator or something. I was like, what's going on? And I was like, oh no, it's like the drone following the thing, like you can hear the wings on it or whatever, the blades.
I did read somewhere that some of the skiers have said, hey, it's a little too loud, or, you know, it's a little distracting.
I mean, it's loud. It's, yeah.
And obviously they're going 70 miles an hour. We always have the debate, I'm sure you've had it with your friends, like, do you think you could line up at receiver and catch and get a first down in the NFL, or could you take a hit? Or, sometimes you might.
I'm not one of the idiots that thinks I can do that stuff.
Right. Sometimes you might get a little liquid courage and claim that you could
return a serve from Serena Williams. No, right. No, that'll never happen.
Right.
No.
All those types of things. Right. The downhill skiing. It's not only that I couldn't actually do it. Like, I have played tennis, I have played football. Skiing, I don't ski, so I couldn't actually do it. But that is the craziest thing. Like,
do you think the alpine downhill is like,
yeah,
because to me, the craziest one is the skeleton.
Oh, that's a whole other level. But just in terms of the skiing, I mean, you're going, you know, 70 miles an hour.
They're going faster than that. Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's no protection. Like, obviously, like auto racing is very risky, but you are locked in there as well as you can be.
Basically just wearing spandex. There's not a lot of pads.
Right. Like I happened to see, so the other day I was watching, flipping the channels, I should say, and they were showing the downhill. I didn't realize that it was where Lindsey Vonn crashed.
Yeah.
I mean, I already knew she had crashed. I didn't know that this was what I was watching, and then I saw it a minute or so into it. But they showed the image of the drone, and I've been watching skiing at the Olympics my whole life, and, you know, again, it's nuts that you're doing this. But when you see the angle from behind, the drone angle, wow, it is incredible. Incredibly terrifying. I mean, how they're able to turn so quickly, and like, obviously they're not just going down a hill for fun. They have to, you know, stay within the certain lines and the boundaries and all these things. Again, I'm not trying to explain skiing.
Well, it's why her leg ended up going out on her, you know, and she had that blown ACL already. And I saw a thing that really broke down, like what happened from that. And it was basically because of the injury that happened. Cause she was trying to overcompensate with her other leg. I think it was her left leg with the ACL.
I know she hit the gate, but I didn't like get beyond that.
That wasn't the part that did it, though, because I saw a guy like break it down, and he was saying basically, like when you watch her like first start at the beginning, she lands on her right leg first. Like, she's clearly like favorite, like she's doing it on purpose, you know, like to favor the strong leg. And they're like, most of the time that will work. They're like, but when you turn right, your left leg basically has to extend at the knee, and that's a problem. You know, and that's what happened to her. It's like the weight just like, and they had a brace on her and stuff like that, but it's not the same. And it didn't work. It broke, it stinks. She knew the risks. It was not it's a sad ending to her really career, I would think. But
right. And, you know, obviously winning the gold, coming back, she had obviously retired for several years, you know, 41, you know, that's for any athlete, that's a bit of an advanced age, but in the, you know, that sport. But she comes back, she qualifies, she crushes the trials, she makes the team. Even after she gets the ACL, she keeps going. She was, like, I think, third in, like, the practice runs.
The warm-up trials or whatever.
For her to keep going, and we talk about, like, I don't know if I can say this word, so I won't, but the baddies in sports, the, you know, the other word. Put her as high on the list as you want. Again, we understand, like, football, you know, we associate with tough guys, not discounting it, and you can go through all kinds of different sports. She has got to be way up on the list. Again, her sport in itself is nuts.
Yeah.
She then took off years, comes back as good as anybody, blows out her ACL, says, nah, I'm good. We're going to keep going. Again, third in the practice run, and then unfortunately it ends the way that it did. But for her to continue to do that, I mean, I know it's not the exact same thing, but right now in the NBA, a big crisis is, of course, the tanking and obviously guys with the load management stuff. So to see that, in college basketball, Darren Peterson, perhaps the number one pick out of Kansas, he's missed like roughly like half his games because of injuries, I think. So to see all that, and then here, she's like, nah, I'm good. Let's go on the ACL. I know it's the Olympics.
Sure.
You can't go back and do the Olympics the following week, but still.
I mean, it's her last chance, so I get it. I don't think she would have taken those risks if she was 25 or something. You know, it's like, because you still got a career ahead of you, you can still whatever. But I mean, I get it. It's just, it was sad. There's been a few sad stories where we had high hopes this year in the Olympics too for certain Americans and stuff. So what was it? Ilya, how do you say his name? Malinin. The kid from Vienna, Virginia here that was, he was just competing today in the, spoiler alert, because they're going to rerun it tonight, but he was competing in the free skate, the men's free skate. It was one of the biggest events at the Olympics, like most watched, most popular. Sure. And he was, you know, the shoe-in favorite going into these Olympics, the quad god, they called him and everything. And he did not look good today, you know, and I don't think it was an injury thing. I think he probably, there's a lot of pressure, you know?
Sure.
It reminded me of the Simone Biles stuff where she kind of stepped out that one year and she was like, it was insane. And the pressure these guys are under, it's weird. Cause like all of a sudden, you know, it's like they kind of do their things and there's people that care about their sports and whatever, but it's not like NFL numbers or whatever. And then all of a sudden the entire world's watching, you know, it's just billions of people all of a sudden are seeing this. And, you know, this guy's probably done this routine a million times and he fell twice today. You know, that's right. And you don't get to do the Olympics again next week. You know, you got to wait another 4 years, you know, if you can get back, if you're still healthy, if your life still allows you to do those kind of, you know, it's like there's a lot of ifs that still come with that. And it's a heartbreak, you know, because I know, especially here in D.C., we wanted to see him do well, but that's part of it, too. It's the rareness of it is kind of, I think, what draws our attention to it.
Right.
You know,
well, also like, you know, like Kenneth Walker at the Super Bowl, right? He wins the MVP. Yeah. Great game, great playoffs. Totally deserved it. Kenneth Walker, as many fantasy football players would attest to, you know, was just kind of a guy this year, probably disappointing for where you drafted him. But because of that performance, he's going to free agency. His deal's probably going to go up. But don't know.
You get like, Super Bowl MVP, you're charging more the next job you get. Like,
right. And then even at like the card shows, whenever that time comes, things like that. But like, it's not like he isn't going to likely be like some massive endorser, you know, out in the commercial world, but some maybe, but not like crazy. If you win gold in the Olympics in some of these main events, like men's figure skating, that can completely change your financial structure for the rest of your life. Oh, so the pressure is not just.
Well, Ilya's young. He'll be back and doing more, I'm sure. Like, we'll get to see him. He's not like Lindsey Vonn, where we know this is the end of her 21. Career. Yeah. he's young. He'll be back, but it's still a heartbreaker, you know?
Oh, I mean, again, like at least in the NFL, whether Kenneth Walker had won the Super Bowl or not, he's got more years to come at the most popular sport that we have. Lots of eyeballs on him here. Other than if you are a big fan of figure skating, let's just be realistic. It's not going to make the top of most people's lists. And, you know, even still, like there's only so many events of ice skating that would get shown. So, yeah, it's a huge bummer, but hopefully. Like you said, I mean, he did have some, you know, they won the team event, right? He had
He also did the backflip today, which he did land. He's the first one. He did that earlier in the Olympics when they were doing, like, the team thing or whatever, but he did it again tonight. And I think he's the only person that's landed one of those in competition since the 70s.
You are a big hockey guy.
Oh, yeah.
In addition
to wearing a hockey jersey right now.
You are. You're wearing a Black Sabbath hockey jersey. Like, I can't imagine there's more than a handful of those around, so... But obviously, the one of the big deals, of course, here in the Olympics is the fact that you have the professionals playing in hockey. You know, it is so fascinating to see the best of the best together. And then not only that, obviously, it's not just like the way Olympic basketball has been, not so much now, but for most of the years, where it's the U.S. is so dominant. You've got teams, U.S. and Canada in particular, are loaded. Early on, what have you liked what you have seen from the hockey in general?
The U.S. team is killing. Yeah, they're blowing people out like 5-1 and stuff most games. Yeah, they're doing real good.
Is it so just the U.S. and Canada? I mean, obviously.
Yeah, Russia's not allowed in, so they don't have a team, which they would usually be one of the big teams as well. Usually, like, Sweden's another superpower. I think the entire Swedish team is NHL players. But I think it's going to come down to the U.S. and Canada. And you kind of got to, you know, Canada, this is their Team USA basketball team, is their hockey team, you know? So they're kind of always the favorite. But that doesn't mean America can't put up a fight, you know? So
you are a Caps fan, correct?
Oh, yeah.
So if it comes down to Tom Wilson is coming on the breakaway for Canada with a chance to score, are you rooting for Tom Wilson or are you rooting for USA?
I'm rooting for USA, but I do not want Tom Wilson to get injured. So that's where I'm. No, I'm a homer, man. Like, nothing wrong with Canada or whatever, but if you're the opponent, I want Team USA to win, you know?
I guess that's funny, right? Because, like, in sports these days, it's different from when I was a young man. But now it feels like a lot of people root for sports based on an individual. So if LeBron is playing for whatever team he's on.
I loved watching the Russian hockey teams when they had Ovechkin and Malkin and stuff all playing together. Like, those were really fun. Like, I'm not – I don't really care if the Russians win or not, but they were fun to watch. You know, I think we all saw Ovechkin when he leveled Jaromir Jagr in the Olympics. You know, he just destroyed him. That was amazing.
It was amazing. I wonder, you mentioned Ovechkin, if Russia is allowed to play the next time out. Like, obviously, I don't imagine Ovechkin still playing in the NHL.
Yeah.
But, he is such a machine. I almost wonder, is it conceivable that he could play?
I don't know.
In 4 years.
I don't know. We'll see. Because they've talked about him maybe doing a year in Russia after this, but I bet it's kind of like a Jordan on the Wizards era. It's what they're going to get over there, so.
Ah, Jordan on the Wizards was good.
I'm just saying it's not the same, you know. But his level of fame in Russia is huge. That's what's kind of amazing about Ovechkin. You forget that here sometimes. He's kind of this local sports legend, and he's a big star. But it's like, in Russia, he kind of is like Michael Jordan. He is this star that sells products all over TV and billboards and stuff in a way that we don't really see him do that here, you know, but. So I don't know. I guess it's possible just because of his fame and notoriety there.
I mean, in my lifetime, Russians were not playing in the NHL. So for them to have the guy, the all-time goal scorer.
Yeah. I mean, I remember it was like Fedorov and Bure and those guys when they first came over and stuff, when the wall fell. You know, I remember it was a very exciting time. I was a hockey fan back then as a kid, you know, and we were getting all their rookie cards, like their star players. We already knew who they were, but, like, you know, they hadn't played in the NHL, so they didn't have cards. So,
yeah.
Even though they weren't, like, you know, fresh out of college. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. No, cards are a big deal. All right. Good Olympic breakdown there. We got more to discuss. Maybe we'll talk more about the Olympics. I also want to get into Commanders free agency. Mark Zuckerman talking Nats at 7:30. We'll get to all that here on 106.7 The Fan. We talked about the Olympics in the last segment, which was fun. Derailed a little bit. We didn't get into the Commanders and free agents, their own free agents. But we'll do that, I promise. We have got time, and this is what I do. On my day job. We'll do that. And of course, in the bottom of the hour, Mark Zuckerman from his new site, Nats Journal, will join us to talk about the Nats down at spring training. But we've got a couple minutes here. I assume that most of you have not heard of somebody named Jake Olson. You may know somebody in your life named Jake Olson, but Jake Olson, a football coach, may not be that known to you. And it's only because of the Commanders can I even mention a name like this without a guy who it appears may be joining the staff at a position. I don't even know what the position depth name is or what the role will be, but it's going to be like a deep one on the staff, like not like coordinator or position coach. But because it's the Commanders, it feels like I'm okay to discuss it. According to Matt Zenitz with CBS Sports, Jake Olson, who is the safeties coach at LSU, is expected to join the Commanders. Now, I've asked about this. I've heard there's been discussion. Nothing's been finalized. There's no position role for him established. So we'll see. But, you know, sounds like it's trending in a positive direction. The only reason I'm really bringing this up, because, again, there's no reason you would have heard of him. We're talking about, like, maybe the assistant defensive backs coach or quality control coach. But the one thing I think is interesting is he's had two stints at LSU the last 2 years, but also in 2021, he was an analyst focused on the linebackers during a season in which the defensive coordinator was none other than Durante Jones, who is now the new defensive coordinator with Washington. I would have to assume that that connection is why Olsen would be here. It's always possible, I guess, that a guy, you know, sort of at that level would jump up to an NFL team just because of, you know, interview process or some other connection. But you would have to think logically this is because of Durante Jones. And it's notable, at least in the sense that I've been waiting for Durante Jones to bring in people on the defensive staff that he has worked with in the past. So far, haven't really gotten that new defensive line coach. No obvious tie there. They've made a couple other little switches here and there, but nothing that would suggest Jones bringing his own people. I do always think it's important for that to occur. So the coordinator has somebody there to help, you know, spread the message, spread the gospel of whatever it is he's preaching. Don't get me wrong. I don't think the assistant defensive backs coach, if that's what the role Olsen were to have, would be that guy, but it is what it is. Again, this is the thing about the Commanders. We can talk about how deep, we can talk about like all levels of the coaching staff, and at least a good segment of you out there listening are like, oh, okay, cool. I probably could name the assistant coaches on like on the Wizards or the Caps, and most of you would be like, not only would you not have heard of them, myself included, don't get me wrong, not have heard of them, wouldn't care. But this is where we are with the Commanders. So we'll see. So keep an eye. We may get news tonight that Jake Olsen is on the staff. And of course, I don't know if we have alarm sounds here, but maybe I'll make Metal Chris bust.
I can do a breaking news thing if we want.
Oh, great. Well, okay. If Jake Olsen is brought on the staff, we're going to have to break out the breaking news sound there just to play this out now that I've talked about this. All right. So as I said, Mark Zuckerman is coming up here at the bottom of the hour to talk about the Nats, get a feel for where they are at early here in camp. And, you know, all these teams in town right now, the top four teams, Commanders, Caps, Nats,
Sports Illustrated saying that it is confirmed now, at least from them. So
got it. All right. Well, see, there you go. I'm still waiting to hear from places I hear things from, but at the moment I haven't gotten there yet. So we'll see. But yeah, sure. I mean, like I said, if somebody's putting it out there, you would imagine it's happening. But don't go yet. We're gonna lock this down on our own here. And when I tell you to play that funky music, we'll get to it. But I was gonna say, like, you know, look, I mean, spring training is always a time for optimism, just like it is for training camp in whatever the sport. So I'm sure whatever Mark is going to tell us, it's going to be on the upbeat side. That's great. This is, you know, you want things to be, hey, give me something positive. Even if you keep, you know, a sense of reality, you know, in mind of like, okay, this is probably not going to be the playoffs or the World Series. But the whole point for this season, to me, it seems like, can these young guys start to step up, start to show that they are legit starters in whatever role they may be in, and that gives you positive hopes going forward. That's what we're going to find out from Mark. Can we get, what positive vibes can we get out of our guy down in spring training? We'll do that next here on 106.7 The Fan. All right, Ben Standick back with you here on Overtime on 106.7. We're going to have Mark Zuckerman from Nats Journal on in a few moments to give us an update on what's been happening down in spring training. What a dichotomy we got. The Olympics on, snow, cold, ice. Outside where we are, snow, cold, ice. And this guy is down in Florida. I don't know what the temperature is, but I'm going to guess it's not, he's not dealing with snow, cold, ice. So, you know, he's just dealing with batting practice and you know, pitchers and catchers doing their thing. So we'll get to Mark here, hopefully in just a couple of moments. The other thing that's on right now is the celebrity game on during NBA All-Star weekend. And maybe it is a different conversation to have maybe later in the show about the NBA. On the one hand, there's so much positive going for it. You know, so many stars. You got the young guys now like Victor Wembanyama and Cade Cunningham and, you know, stepping up. And we've seen, of course, with OKC, you know, a new generation is taking over. You know, LeBron, Durant, Curry, these guys are still around, still playing at a high level. But, you know, they're starting to step aside for the new guys. And yet so much of the talk about the NBA, whether it's the All-Star game and how just the whole weekend is just such a shell of what it was back in the day. I mean, the celebrity game has only been a somewhat recent, well, maybe it's been a while now, but it wasn't like a staple of All-Star weekends when I was growing up. But it is, okay, whatever. That's just for fun. It's the rest of it. The dunk contest we've all lamented about for years. The game itself, where the idea of not playing defense has become, it's just taken root to the degree that people, like, these guys don't even understand what it means when people used to say they don't play defense. They just meant they used to not play defense at a NBA finals level, not like they just let somebody, you know, walk to the lane. That happens now. Anyway, we'll get to that later. But Mark is with us now on the line down in sunny Florida. Mark, make us feel bad. What's the temperature there today?
Oh, come on, Ben. I don't want to do that to you. I'm not going to mention that it was like 78 degrees and bright sunshine, and I'm already worried about getting sunburned after a couple of days. I wouldn't do that to you and everyone back home.
No, it's all right. I set it up before. I said it's freezing here. I'm watching the Winter Olympics, and you're calling me from Florida. That is just, I know of the three places where I would rather be. And this is, I don't know if I want to bring spring training, but that's why you're there, because you love spring training. You're there for your new site, Nats Journal. Before you tell us about what's going on with the Nats down in spring training, it's first week of the new site, and you have been crushing it. How's it going so far? The reception looks like it's been great. Everybody getting on board with Nats Journal.
Yeah, this has been really phenomenal. I launched on Monday, and, you know, you have high hopes, and you want to believe that people are going to notice it and join in, and it's really exceeded, I think, what I imagined, certainly for it to happen this quickly. We're up over 4,000 total subscribers, that's both paid and free subscribers, and I give you a lot of credit. You helped me kind of explain to me and guide me through the whole Substack process and gave me some pointers and tips before I got started, and I'm just really appreciative of everyone who has found it and signed up, and hopefully they're enjoying the coverage so far. I mean, we've talked about the void now in DC media, especially in the written word, with the demise of the post sports section. And I knew there's an audience out there. You know, the Nats, I understand they're not in a great place right now, and there's a lot of frustration among the fan base, but there are a lot of fans who still care deeply about this team, good or bad, and want to know what's going on with them on a daily basis. And so that's why I did this. That's why I'm down here. And so I'm going to keep covering the team, every single day with as much material as I can provide.
Well, what's the last year? Like, what was the average attendance roughly at home games?
They finished at about 1.9 million. So it's well over 20,000 a game. And I looked it up over their entire history, which is now, you know, over 20 seasons, they've averaged over 2.2 million fans a year. So that's like 27,000 a game. And even at their absolute worst, they've never drawn less than 1.8 million a year. So that's, again, somewhere in like 23,000 per year. Now, I understand that's not, you know, where you want to be. You want to be up around 30 and above, and they have when they've been good. But given what's happened the last, you know, 5 years for the franchise, that still tells me and should tell everyone that there is a core group of fans out there that does care about this team. They are still popular. People bought in, and you know, when they won the World Series in 19, you created a whole generation of new fans. They just want this team to start winning again. And yeah, I'm concerned about what the attendance might look like this year. But if the Nats do what they need to do, they're going to win these fans back, because we know you put a good product out there, they will come. They will come out to Nats Park.
did a baseball guy just said, if you build it, they will come? Is that what you
said? Well, I thought of that as I was saying and realizing, oh, I hope I didn't just plagiarize James Earl Jones. But, you know.
I brought it up because to the point of, you know, when we talk about these teams that are struggling, and obviously most of the teams in this town right now have for years, but right now in particular, you know, almost everybody is in a bad space. But it's a difference between the hardcores who's there all the time, and then there's the more of the casuals who show up. You know, they come in and out depending on what's happening. And yeah, to the point of both that attendance figure that you mentioned and your own site, it just shows, hey, there are plenty of people out there who still care. It's just unfortunate right now that the product is not matching the care level. But that said, it's spring training. This is where it's all positive. I'm sure you have lots of positive stories. What's the most positive story so far for you in the few days you've been down there?
I think what stands out is how this clubhouse is really buying into what the completely brand new coaching staff and front office is trying to sell them. For those who don't really know, I mean, this isn't just like they hired a new GM and a new manager. They completely overhauled their entire program. It's a very young group. It's a very analytics heavy group. They have invested significantly in new technology. They've invested in a whole lot more personnel on the minor league side and the major league side. There's going to be way more coaches and support staff and people who are there to help try to maximize what they can get out of these players. And you don't really know until you see it in action. And especially given how young and inexperienced a lot of those guys are on the coaching staff. And you're talking about a manager, Blake Butier, who's 33, a pitching coach, Simon Matthews, who's 30. I was curious, what do these players think of these guys? And do they buy in? Or is there a feeling out process? And what I've gathered so far is that they are very impressed. They are buying in. And there's an enthusiasm and an energy that probably wasn't here the last couple years under Mike Rizzo and David Martinez. And that's not to say those guys weren't excellent at what they did. And, of course, they won a World Series for this franchise. But I think the last 2 years, especially last year, it felt pretty stale. It felt like they were just doing the same thing over and over. There wasn't a lot of progress. And I think it permeated into the clubhouse where guys felt like, if the people above us don't think we're making any strides here or aren't, you know, conveying that they're trying to do anything different, then how are we supposed to get excited for this? And so even though they know deep down this team isn't ready to win yet and they're not, you know, the front office isn't attempting to build a contender this year, there is some real enthusiasm from the players because they see this as something different. They feel like this new staff has their backs and they're excited to see where it goes from here.
We're talking with Mark Zuckerman, of course, covers the Nats for his new site, Nats Journal on Substack. You know, it's funny, you mentioned that you could feel something, a different energy in the air. Very different circumstances, but when the Commanders a couple years ago brought in Dan Quinn and Adam Peters and new ownership, and more importantly, the old ownership was gone, even some of the veteran guys who've been there through all the garbage, you could tell they had a extra, you know, pep in their step, and there were a lot of positive vibes in that, you know, few months later, it led to them being in the NFC Championship game. I'm not saying these are the two equal things. And, you know, Jaden Daniels, a quarterback, is very different than other, like, a single baseball player. But the point is, sometimes change just by itself can be a huge positive, give you a big bump emotionally, mentally. You know, we see teams that you're like, wait, how is this team being good? Is there a world where, you know, I don't want to go crazy, but is there a world where the Nats actually are in contention for the playoffs because of these positive vibes combined with the young talent?
That would be a remarkable turnaround, Ben. Honestly, if that did happen, and hey, that would be great to experience. But boy, what an indictment of the previous administration that would be, because that would suggest that they were the problem all along and that a new coaching staff in front office is all they needed. Because let's be clear, the roster is not dramatically different. They did very little in free agency this winter. The pitching staff has tons of question marks on it. Their bullpen doesn't have many names that I think even like semi-serious fans even know on this team. So it would be a major step forward for them to pull that off in 1 year. But I think the thing to watch, less so than what their record is, and I hate that we have to talk like that, but I do think that's the reality of the situation, it's really going to be, do you see significant progress on an individual basis? You know, does Dylan Cruz take that step that everybody believes he can take and become a really good big league player? Does James Wood, you know, do what he did in the first half last year and do it for the full 6 months? Does C.J. Abrams become a more consistent player day in and day out, especially in the field? Can Keibert Ruiz become the catcher that he was supposed to be all along? Those are the kind of things to watch for, and those are the kind of differences that maybe the new approach from the coaching staff can have on them. There's young talent here. There's no question about that. It's a matter of, can they maximize it? Can they grow together? And ultimately, you know, a year from now, have they built something that everybody can look at and say, okay, they are on the cusp now, and maybe they can convince ownership to go out and spend some more to supplement what they now have? Because that part of the equation, I think, is still a huge question mark.
I don't want to compare the Nats to every single team in town, but it sort of reminds me of where the Wizards have been. You know, the Wizards have been at the bottom. They get some young players. Those young players have started to show enough that now they go out and get Trae Young and Anthony Davis, not to contend per se, but to help these young players develop and learn more about competition, what it takes to be a professional in this league, things like that. So who knows? Maybe if these young guys do step up, we'll see. What is the deal with Dylan Cruz? I mean, other than being like Paul Skeens' former teammate, like I know he was one of the top picks in the draft, but it feels like he's kind of been under the radar, and this is coming again from somebody who's not focused on the Nats day in, day out. But I was maybe expecting a little bit more at this point. What's your expectation for him going into this season?
Yeah, I think everybody was hoping for more than we've seen. It's been underwhelming, I think, is the best way to put it. Now, that said, he was hurt for a large chunk of last year with an oblique strain. He was just starting to put it together right before that happened. And when he came back, it takes some time. You don't just pick up where you left off, you know, 2.5 months, I think it was, that he missed. And by the time he came back, the team was in such a bad spot, having already fired the manager, the GM, and it was kind of just playing out the string, I think, for everyone. So it is time for him to take that step up. Number one, prove he's healthy. Number two, prove that he can be a good quality big leaguer. Now, I mean, he was the number two pick in the country behind his old LSU teammate, Paul Skeens. And if not for Skeens, he would have been the number one pick. Like, everybody in the sport believes that. He was the best player in college. And more than that, he was the leader of that LSU championship team. This is a guy who wants to be the guy that everyone relies on in big spots and wants to be the leader in the clubhouse. And because there are so few veterans, especially on the position player side here, there's a major void that I think needs to be filled by somebody to kind of lead this group. I think Dylan wants to be that guy, but I think he also recognizes you can't be that guy until you actually prove that you can perform at this level. And so that's step number one for him, to show that he can be that this year. If that happens, then he can ascend to that leadership role, and everyone else can follow him, to who knows what heights.
All right, so the Nats just signed a new starting pitcher, Miles Mikolas, if I'm saying that right.
Mikolas,
okay. So obviously they, need some more starting depth, just in terms of this year, in terms of getting, into the season, through the season. Is there any sort of screaming need that you're like, hey, they still, I don't know if they even have a quality starter at this position, or if enough, is there one thing you're like, hey, they've got to get this dealt with just to play the season and be like a normal looking team?
Yeah, I think the addition of Mikolas, and look, he's not going to be an all-star, which he was with St. Louis a couple of times, but he's not going to be that anymore. He's 37 years old. He's a pitch-to-contact guy, not a lot of strikeouts. But he will eat innings for you, and they needed that because the rest of the rotation is very much full of question marks. But there is some promise there with Cade Cavalli, the former number one pick who might wind up as their ace now. Josiah Gray is coming back 2 years later, essentially, from his Tommy John surgery. There's some hope there for him. Brad Lord was impressive last year as a rookie. So there is some potential there. My biggest concerns in the bullpen, they already, when they traded Kyle Finnegan last July, they had a big void there. And to his credit, Jose A. Ferrer, a young left-hander with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, stepped up, and he ascended to the closer role and really looked good at it. And then they went and traded him this winter to Seattle for Harry Ford, the top catching prospect. And I get why they did that. A potential everyday catcher for the next 6-7 years is more valuable than a reliever who has 4 years of control, and that position is so fickle. but it left them with nobody with any real track record in the bullpen. If they start the season today, I guess their closer is either going to be Cole Henry or Clayton Beter, and I'm guessing you don't know anything about either of those guys.
Nope.
And that's just the top two guys out of an eight-man bullpen. When you go further down the list, these are names that very few people are going to recognize. There's still time. There's 5 weeks to go, and there's a lot of free agents still out there. I've got to believe that they're going to add at least one, if not two, just, you know, maybe not star relievers, but guys with some track record and experience, because that group is sorely lacking it. And we've seen over the years how a bad bullpen can ruin everything else for a team. You can have a great lineup, you can have a good rotation, and if your bullpen can't close it out, it is such a demoralizing thing, and I hope it doesn't come to that this year. I hope that they are at least able to put together a relief corps that can finish out games when they do have a lead, because that's tough on everybody's psyche.
All right, we're talking with Mark Zuckerman again, founder of the brand new site, Nats Journal. Let me close with this. Now, when a team is struggling, and again, we understand the expectations. This is a process. We get it. But, okay, when a team is struggling, especially get through the past the middle of the season, like what are we talking about? Oftentimes it is sort of like these bigger picture topics that take control, i.e., the Nats have constantly traded away some of their young players in recent years rather than keep them. We don't have to go through the list, but they just did one recently with Mackenzie Gore. I remember when I used to be around the Nats a lot, the Bryce Harper talk for years and years and years. It was like almost like a foregone conclusion that he was going to leave because they weren't going to keep him, and somehow that's exactly what happened. James Wood, is this going to be a thing for him, knowing, right, he's a Boris guy, I believe?
Yeah.
That is always going to be frightening. Is the James Wood thing, do we have time for this to be like still a couple years away from this watch, or are we already at a point where this is going to be a topic until he gets a deal done?
I really hope it doesn't overtake things the way that it did with Harper and with Juan Soto, for that matter. The good news, you know, James has 5 years of control left. So this shouldn't be anything that we have to worry about immediately. If you're Paul Toboni and you believe in this kid, and let's remember, he's a local kid who can be the face of this franchise for a long time to come, I would be doing everything in my power to see if I can lock him up long before you ever get to that point. Now, the problem is, you point out, when you're a Scott Boras client, the advice you're going to get from your agent is do not re-sign, go to free agency. Even if you decide to go back to the team, you're always going to be better off financially waiting it out and having the ability to negotiate with 30 teams instead of just one. Now, Scott will tell you that he lets the players make the call, that he works for them. I don't know if that's always true, but in this case, given that it's his hometown team, given that he really is this burgeoning superstar who could lead this franchise hopefully back to where they want to be, if there's ever a guy who maybe would be willing to do it, maybe it's him. And so if I'm Toboni, I'm trying to make the hard sell as soon as possible before we get into that phase, you know, with 2 or 3 years to go until free agency, where it does become the talk all the time. I really hope we don't go down that same path again, but I would not be shocked if we do, because that is the MO both for Boris and his clients and unfortunately for the Nationals franchise.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's the I guess the reason I'm bringing it up, even with all those years of control, is until ownership shows a different path, how do we know that, you know, are we just like, is it already like a dead man walking situation? We just haven't gotten all the way to the end yet, or are they actually going to step up? I know the Orioles, the team I pay more attention to, you know, they had Baseo, right? I mean, he played like 10 seconds, and they were like, here's an extension. We want you to stay, which was great as an Orioles fan. I'm like, cool, get this guy done. I would love to see this for the Nats, and Wood being a local guy would make so much sense, because until the ownership spends money, I don't know how, if you're a Nats fan, you feel confident that it's going to get done. And that to me would just be tough, even if I'm watching these young guys develop, because I don't know what it means in 3-4 years.
Yeah. I think the underlying issue all here is going to be, this front office can be great at what they do, but ultimately there's going to come a point where it comes down to ownership's commitment as well. And we just don't know. It's been a while since they've done that. Are they going, you know, Mark Lerner has said, the couple of times he's spoken, has said that he's going to get payroll back to where it used to be, and that they are going to commit to doing that when the time is right. The proof will be in the pudding if they actually do that, whether that's a year from now, 2 years, 3 years, whatever that is. The fear would be that even if the front office does its job and the coaching staff does this job, are the Washington Nationals about to become the next version of the Tampa Bay Rays, a team that can be successful and make the playoffs with some regularity, but never has any staying power and never retains any of their players, for long term. And they always end up looking to trade them before they hit free agency. I'll be really curious in the long run which path they choose. Do they turn into the Tampa Bay Rays, or can they become the Washington Nationals from, 2012 to 2019?
All right, Metal Chris is going to yell at me because I've gone here way over, but I had to keep talking to my guy. So tell everybody before I go, how do they find you, Nats Journal? What do they need to know if they want to sign up?
NatsJournal.com. Immediately, it'll show you how to sign up. We got different subscription plans. You can go monthly, $7.99 a month. You can go annually for a discount, $5.99 a month. Join the group. It's been great. I've really appreciated all the support and hope there's still more to come.
Fantastic. Mark, you rock. Enjoy that terrible 75-degree weather down there. I don't know how you're going to survive, but I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Ben. I much appreciate it.
All right. That's great. Mark Zuckerman, appreciate his time. And yeah, to me, again, I'm an Orioles guy. I'm not a Nats guy, but I know how these things go. And to me, I always end up looking at big picture. And if your team, if your ownership is not, if you're not confident your ownership is going to help your cause, then even watching the young guys develop, I don't know what I'm looking at. I kind of feel that way with the Wizards a little bit, but I feel more confident there to a degree. Nats fans, I don't know what to tell you. All right, we're going to go here. We're with you till 10 o'clock. Here on 106.7 The Fan.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLBPlus.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.